Good morning. Happy Memorial Day. We just want to shout out all the families who have lost a loved one in combat for our freedoms. Thank you so much just for the sacrifices and made. I have family members who have served, did not lose them in combat, but I have family members who have served in our military, and that's definitely an amazing call. So one, before I move forward, I failed to do this last night, and I wanted to make sure we definitely honored and paid love and respect to the families in that space. So who is this guy, for those who don't know? Because, like, that doesn't look like Rusty. Well, you know, we kind of favor a little bit. No, I'm just joking. But, no, my name is Brandon Pendleton. I'm a volunteer here on the teaching team at New Hope. And if you're not acquainted with me, actually, too, hello to those who are online streaming. Just a little bit about me. So the line of work that I'm involved in, I do IT security work. In particular, I look at what's called risk assessments, and we basically make sure that things are designed in such a way where the right people get access to the information that they need, and the people who don't need to know that stay out. You know, that's our goal. But if the people who don't need to know don't stay out, we have a way of alerting ourselves and being aware of what's going on. So that's what I do with those fun little things that we use on a day-to-day basis with computers. Another thing about me is my wife and I have been married for it'd be 13 years in August. Truth be told, I couldn't do what I do without Adoee. I think if for those who were here during the season to Be the Bridge, I think you may have had a chance to see my wife, and she's one of those behind-the-scenes persons, but trust and believe, she's the one driving this engine right here, you know. So I'm so thankful for her and our kids, Karis and Josiah. They're 8 and 4. Appreciate just their gracious hearts, knowing where daddy's on the move doing things. They're supportive and praying as well. And my nephew lives with us. He's 13. I'm thankful for him as well. Very courageous little young guy. He's going to be amazing when he comes in that season of manhood. A few other things related to me and potentially why I may be standing before you today is I've had the privilege of serving as a volunteer in ministry for many years, and it dates back as far as just serving in youth ministry. And from there, God's blessed that I went into college, and I had an opportunity to serve with an on-campus ministry as well, and it just was a phenomenal experience. So I've known for a long time that, you know, God's had a call on my life to essentially just to encourage others to discover and become all that God intended for them to be. And I'm so thankful for churches like New Hope and leadership like New Hope who recognizes and understands that the people who come and who are partnered with the church, that God's gifted them in something, God's placed different skills and abilities in all folks who come, and that New Hope creates churches like New Hope and leadership like New Hope creates opportunities and a fertile ground for people just to be able to develop those skills and those talents. And it's such a blessing. And I'm just so thankful just for that. My wife and I, my family and I have been at New Hope for about 7 years. And while being here at New Hope, I've served and currently still do serve in the various ministries that go on here. I started with the sound and production team, still serving with them as well. So all the behind-the-scenes stuff, you know, making sure things allow where they need to be, have served that capacity. Sports ministry, any of my flag football folks here in the building? Not today, not this service. It's cool, no problem. They're streaming online. That's all good. But yes, sports ministry, love them. Small group, you know, O and I, we're connected to an amazing couples in our community locally in Woodbridge. And it's been just great getting the chance to do life with them and us to be able to go through challenges together and support each other, pray for each other, challenge each other to continue to grow in our relationship with the Lord. Another ministry, the men's ministry, you know, that whole leadership team and all the folks who are part of that space, I'm so thankful for those guys and just their volunteer and their sacrifices that they make to support the men here at New Hope. Takeover. So, you know, so you may see the shirt that I have on that says Takeover. No, Brandon is not trying to have a coup over New Hope. No, sir, that's not my goal. My goal is just to play my role. But no, Takeover, for those who are not familiar with New Hope, is the high school, middle school and high school ministry for youth here. And I intentionally wanted to wear something, a shameless plug, you know, to shout them out. Because any Takeover folks here in the Takeover? Takeover youth? Okay, all right, you all, this okay, you're streaming online too, but it's good. But yeah, Takeover, like I mentioned before, you know, I can guarantee you, if it was not for youth ministry, I would not be where I am today. I would not be the child of God that I am today. I would not be able to stand before you today if it wasn't for youth ministry. So big ups and shout out to Takeover. And then, as I mentioned too, I'm also part of the New Hope teaching team. So just a few things to put out there, just to know that my time is vested here as well, just with part of this body of Christ, and I'm very thankful just to be able to serve. And also, just to have a shameless plug here, that the bottom line is New Hope does have needs, and those needs God intended for the people who are part of the church, who partner with the church to help fulfill those needs. So, you know, as the saying goes, many hands can help light, many hands makes light work. So, you know, whether I do understand everybody has commitments and schedules and kids and family and things of that nature, much respect there. But my prayer is for those who my prayer is that God will open up bandwidth in the life of those who may not be actively serving. Because truthfully, there's such great needs, and God wants to do some great things. And truth be told, the reason why certain things may not have been unlocked the way that they could be is just the simple fact that you haven't showed up yet to offer you the skill and talent that you have. So there's value there. I know you're like, how does this relate to the Hive? It slightly relates. It doesn't. You know, if you plug into last week's message, that statement directly applies. But anyway, I just wanted to take that opportunity just to shout that out and move forward. So so to recap, the first week, Rusty talked about you know, we're created to belong with others, and that whether it's biological family or close network of friends, you know, having healthy relationships is essential, just like a bee colony. Last week, Rusty talked about how we were created by God to be involved in meaningful activity that benefits ourselves and others, discovering what God has planned for us to be and to do will lead to success. And this week, you know, I have the privilege of talking about the greatest topic ever, the beekeeper, which is God, it's Jesus in our life, and just the beekeeper's care. So let's check out this scripture here, family. Matthew 6, verses 26 through 27. That is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life. Whether you have enough food and drink or enough clothes to wear, isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you more valuable to him than they are? The beekeeper's care. So I did not know much about bees and beekeeping before this series. And so when Rusty mentioned, you know, and asked me to speak, I'm so thankful that he was able to pass some resources to me along with my own research that I was conducting. And one of the funny things about if a person becomes a beekeeper is that you don't just fall into that role. That's not just something that, it's not like a stray dog or a stray cat, you know, that's, you know, on your porch or something. You realize, you know, that, oh, they need a home. You know, I don't see anyone seeing a bee on a flower says, oh, that bee needs a home. It needs to, you know, I'm going to take it home. So beekeepers are very intentional about their plans. And so that's the first point that just amazed me about beekeepers, is that a beekeeper has a purpose and a plan for the bee colony. And it's so amazing to me. Let's look at a couple of scriptures here that kind of reflect how even God has a purpose and plan for us. Jeremiah 29:11 says this, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope." Another scripture, I knew you before I formed you in your mother's womb. Before you were born, I set you apart and appointed you as my prophet to the nations. So it's like God has plans and purpose for each of us, just like a beekeeper has for the bee colony. And so, and in my research, there are four things that seem to be very common goals of beekeepers with their bees. It's this: they either go into beekeeping for pollination, you know, for crops, or just for their own respective gardens that they may have. I think Rusty communicated this statistic during the first week, is that about a third of food consumed today is pollinated primarily by bees. Another thing that beekeepers do, or another reason why beekeepers go into beekeeping, is that they look to preserve the species. And this, and according to the British Beekeepers Association, and I don't even know how they had this statistic, but it was amazing to me. So in 1900, apparently there were over 1 million beehives in England. And then in a 2015 survey, they had discovered that it has reduced down to 270,000. So it was just like, wow, I guess they are dying out. Interesting. So they wanted to preserve the species. Another reason for beekeeping was to promote what they call biodiversity, just to have a variety in the ecosystem. And then lastly, which is what, you know, we all see every day in the grocery store, the other aspect of beekeeping is just for the business side, to produce to harvest the honey and you know, use it for, you know, for food or for even for other medicinal purposes. So like a beekeeper, God has a purpose and plan for us, and God is very intentional behind why he created us. And let's look at this right here in Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 to 31. It says this: Then God said, "Let us make human beings in our image to be like us. They will reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, the livestock, and all the wild animals of the earth, and the small animals that scurry along the ground." So God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them and said, "Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and govern it. Reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the air, and all the animals that scurry along the ground." Then God said, "Look, I have given you every seed-bearing plant throughout the earth and all the fruit trees for your food. And I have given every green plant as food for all the wild animals, the birds in the sky and the small animals that scurry along the ground, everything that has life." And that is what happened. Then God looked over all he had made, and he saw that it was very good. So like the beekeeper, and how the beekeeper enables the colony, when they go into beekeeping, apparently there's like this starter kit, if you will, for beekeeping, where so you can order bees and they'll come in a box for you and you have your hive. But apparently bees, when they come in that form, they're very weak. So beekeepers, they make a sugar water solution and place it in this container in the bottom of the hive. And then the bees feed off of that, and then they gain their strength, and then they start executing their purpose, their production. They go to work. And just like that, you know, God, just like the beekeeper enables the colony, God does the same thing for us. God gives us the resources we need to fulfill our purpose. And it's very important that we understand, that we seek God to understand what his plan is for us individually and what his plan is for us as a community. And part of that process is the leadership that we have in our church to help us understand our function. And over time, as we remain faithful over the things that God's given us, he would then add to us, just like a beekeeper does with the hive. God has a purpose and a plan for us. Second thing that was interesting about a beekeeper is that a beekeeper studies to understand the colony to provide better care. In other words, beekeepers simply just understand their bees. And I was like, okay, you know, it makes sense. If you're going to go into that game, you might as well know what you're doing. But here was the weird thing to me. I was like, wow, again, I learned a lot about bees. So winter care, for example, if you have a beehive, understanding that the production of honey needs to be at a certain level so that they last through the winter and when they hibernate. This whole waggle dance that these bees do to communicate where the flowers are or where they can locate water or other things. And then these different roles that they have. Beekeepers understand this, that there's the role of the queen, there's the role of the worker bee, there's the role of the foragers, the ones that leave the hive to bring nectar back to it. Then there are cleaners, there are drones. And then here's the one that just blew my mind. I was like, what? They have undertakers in the beehive. And I was like, undertakers? What is this? So they actually have, you know, bees that are assigned to remove dead bees from the hive to make sure that they don't, you know, to reduce the threat of disease. They have nurses, they have builders, they have guards. You know, beekeepers understand that what a hive looks like when the queen dies and how bees react. They understand how bees respond to light. Like, I always ask this question. I was like, why are the beekeeper's suits always white? I just was curious. You know, they can you know, jazz up the colors a little bit, you know, make it more stylish. And come to find out, it's just the way that bees respond to dark colors. Apparently, most of their, like bears and pet different things, raccoons, you know, they're darker colored, so bees recognize that. So they automatically, when they see that color, they automatically get defensive. So part of wearing the white suit is to kind of help calm things down, as well as the way they use the smoke. So beekeepers understand their bees. And so that's the crazy thing about God, is that he understands us. He knows us. He knows why we do what we do. He knows why we say what we say. He knows why we think what we think. And it's hard being exposed like that, but it's also so comforting being a follower of Jesus. It's like, man, God, you get me. Let's read this scripture here in Hebrews 4, 14 through 16. So then, since we have a great high priest who has entered heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to what we believe. This high priest of ours understands our weaknesses, for he has faced all the same testings we do, yet he did not sin. So let us come boldly to the throne of grace of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy, and we will find grace to help us when we need it most. God gets us. I heard it, the best way I heard it articulated over the years was this pastor out of Dallas, Texas, and he was talking about the fall of Adam and Eve. And, you know, in the beginning, you know, they were perfect, and then, you know, they ate the fruit and they sinned, and then God comes in the cool of the day, God comes into the garden and he says, Adam, where are you? And so, you know, I know we got some theologians and some Bible scholars out here, but just walk with me for a second from a perspective. The question is, like, God knows everything, so why would God, who knows everything, ask a question? That's crazy. You know everything. And so there's one school of thought that's where God was trying to challenge Adam to see if he realized, okay, do you recognize that the relationship has now changed between you and me? That's one school of thought. And another perspective from what I was in my research is the perspective is God was looking and his heart was broken. In the sense that this, if you look at Adam and Eve as if they were God's babies, is that they reflected him. So when sin was introduced, he really looked at, he saw a spot in them that was like, I can't relate to that. Where are you? Who are you? So it was God's heart being broken. And then the way this pastor had articulated this was God coming in the form of Jesus. And being born of a virgin, and we all know the story. Well, I won't assume it. For those of us who are followers of Jesus, we know the story because that's paramount to our faith. But God coming, becoming Jesus to become acquainted with that question of where are you, to understand that question, where are you? So he knows what it is to be tempted. He knows what it is to be angry, to be frustrated, to be pulled in different ways. So like scripture tells us here in Hebrews, because of Jesus, he gets us, I can go to him. So when I'm angry with my boss at work, Or when Adoli and I, my spouse and I aren't seeing eye to eye. Or my kids are going crazy and I just want to respond a certain way. Or I'm driving on the highway and somebody cuts me off and I just want to kind of, use some figurative sign language with them to communicate my displeasure with their choice to cut me off on the road. Whatever the case may be, he understands where that comes from. And because of that, I shouldn't run from him, I should run to him. And where the Bible says, I can receive grace in a time of need. That's just amazing to me. So like the beekeeper understands the bee colony, God understands us. Another thing about the beekeeper that was amazing to me is the beekeeper does not neglect the colony. Hebrews 13:5b says, "For God has said, I will never fail you, I will never abandon you." And frankly, beekeepers, they do all they can to make sure that the hive stays healthy. That whatever needs the hive has, whether they're producing so much honey that they need to start adding more to the hive to make it bigger, whether there's, or this example, as I was looking at a YouTube video, there was this one beekeeper who recognized that the production of honey was very low in the hive. And so he started trying to figure out what was going on. So he discovered that the queen had died. And because the queen had died, the production was low. So in his mind, he's like, okay, well, I need to go ahead and introduce a new queen. So what he did was, you can purchase bees. So he purchased another queen, and he got ready to introduce the queen to the hive. But what was weird about that moment was that the bees responded, and they were like essentially aggressive on that little box. And so he goes, why are they so aggressive? And it come to find out there were remnants of the older queen. There were remnants of her smell. So apparently the queen, gives out all the pheromones. So like it kind of establishes like an identity for the hive. So what the beekeeper had to do was go in the hive and clean it out, get rid of the remnants and smell of the other queen. And after he did that, the bees were more receptive to the new queen. And so I thought about that. I was like, man, he could have just let them die out. He could have just done anything, but other than what he actually did. So the beekeeper doesn't neglect the colony. And so I had to think about moments in my life where I was like, God, you've never failed me. And I remember I typically look at things sometimes as wins and losses. Just, I like the sports analogy for a lot of things. And one of the things I told somebody years ago, about maybe 8 years ago, I told them, God's track record with me is flawless. And they were like, what do you mean? And I explained to them, this is around the time that the economy was bad. And so long story short, we ended up, losing our house. And I was trying to do everything in my power to make sure we kept our home, working with the right people, trying to, refinance the loans, all this stuff, and everything seemed to be crumbling. And I was so angry. And I said, God, I just feel like you're not coming through for me, man. I'm praying, I'm trusting you, I'm still faithful. And I just feel left alone. And then one day I started talking to Adoli about it, and Adoli says, Brandon, I had this dream. And this dream was weird that we all were on this bus. And it's like everybody in the world was on this bus. We were all going up this mountain. And as we were going up this mountain, the buses start going off the ledges. And she said, but the weird thing is after the buses fell off the ledges, they fell into the water. She said, everybody survived. And I was like, huh? And I was like, I don't get that. And she goes, yeah, I don't get it either. She said, but I had this dream and it's just really weird. Well, fast forward, after we went through the whole process of losing our house because we ended up filing bankruptcy, and when we had our clean slate, that was the moment where everything clicked and God was like, yo, Brandon, Adoli, I got y'all. I've always been here with you. And bottom line is, you're not the only one experiencing this same challenge, this same difficulty, but I'm not going to fail you. I have nothing but great things for you. So that was a moment for me in my life to realize, wow, even in the most grim, in the most dismal situations, God, you are still there and you are still with me 100%. And it just reaffirmed to me that, God, you know what I needed in that moment, which was to know that just that fact that you were there and that you're still leading us and you're still providing. And by the grace of God, there were some things, events that happened afterwards, like we started going to FPU, so and things of that nature that really just solidified the fact that not only was God keeping us safe with the situation with the bankruptcy, but he also was providing, he also was revealing areas where we could grow and develop, again, being a need that we have and making sure that it wasn't neglected. Lastly, the beekeeper helps the colony become more productive in its purpose. The beekeeper, as we talked about before, goes into this with a purpose and a plan in mind. And as bees are executing and doing what they're supposed to do, the beekeeper does everything to make sure that the colony becomes more productive in what they're doing. Let's read this scripture here in John. It says, "I am the true grapevine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit. And he prunes." Prunes is a gardening, for those who don't know, is a gardening term, which apparently means you cut back to make it produce more. Pretty cool, you know, process. But, and he prunes the branches that do bear fruit, for they will produce even more. "You have already been pruned and purified by the message I have given you. Yes, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. When you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples. This brings great glory to my Father." Just like the example of cleaning the hive, God takes us through these amazing, and I say amazing because of the end result. God takes us through these seasons, these moments in time where he's going to work on us and clean some things out of us. He's going to cut back. For those of us who are followers of Jesus, he's going to cut back certain things because we've been fruitful for him. As his image bearers, you know, God intends that we reflect him in all that we do, in effort that we share his goodness with others who don't know him. Because remember, being a part of the body of Christ, the great commission that Jesus gave was to go into all the places in the world and preach the gospel, to share the good news with people. That's at work. That's in our local community. That's at the bus stop. I mean, just, you know, fill in the blank. Just think about the different places you go. And he intends that somebody there has an encounter with him, and his people are to reflect his glory. Sometimes it can be as simple as helping someone carry groceries, some kind of simple act of kindness. Sometimes it could be, you know, helping someone in a crisis moment in their life. Helping the elderly, or even the elderly taking time to spend with young people and making that investment in their lives and sharing some things with them. It could be praying for someone, or it could just be having a friend to walk through difficult times in your life with. But at the end of the day, the goal is to reflect God's glory and to produce, and that's the purpose of being his church, of sharing that good news. And here's the fun thing about it. If being part of the body of Christ, we each have a function. We each have a function and a role, and the reality is, just like our body, God is using us. And so, through the work of the Holy Spirit, God wants to do greater things through us. And so, part of that process is to go through this pruning, this cutting, because again, we've been fruitful. For those of us in the body of Christ, we've been fruitful. We've been used of God to do great things for his glory. And sometimes you would do things that you would never know. You would never know that you were used of God to touch somebody's life for his glory. And so there will be times where God will simply just identify opportunities for us to grow. And it can be privately, it can be communal. And truth of the matter is, it doesn't necessarily have to be a bad event to occur in order for God to do the pruning. You know, there doesn't have to be a crisis moment in the world. Your marriage doesn't have to be on the rocks. You don't have to be at odds with your children just for God to show and reveal an area for you to continue, for us to continue to grow and to develop. I think a great example of that too was even how we did Be the Bridge at our church. That was an amazing moment because our leadership communicated. There was nothing that we were aware of that talked about racial distrust or issues within our church. But at the end of the day, God saw fit that was something that we needed to do to be equipped for something greater for his glory. I think the best example I can give in my personal life of God doing some pruning in me, it has to relate to the military. My parents were divorced when I was about 5 and 6, and I blamed the military for that. The stress my dad would come home and things of that nature. And it's just something about the temperament of my dad. And then when my brother went into the Air Force, it was very similar. And I just didn't like that space. So I had always said, I'm going to stay away from it. Well, I carried that weight with me all my life. Even being a follower of Jesus, I carried that weight. And God saw fit about 2018? So maybe about 11 years ago, he saw fit to start working on that issue in my life. And I started working as a contractor at a military installation and supporting their network. And God just started just stripping some things and helping me get an understanding of that life that I just didn't know. And then we came to New Hope. My wife and I came and started attending New Hope up a few years after that. And I started meeting some great men, in particular men, and I say men because that was just the investment that God saw that I needed in that moment. I met some great men who were either still active duty or who were retired, and we just started having these conversations. And the funny thing about it is, though, I wouldn't find out that they were in the military until after the conversation ended. It's this pruning, y'all. It's important for us to go through this process, to let God work on us, because there's baggage and things that we may be carrying that we just can't, in order for us to be more effective, we can't keep holding on to. So we got to let the Lord work in us. And that's part of what the beekeeper does with the colony. The beekeeper does everything to help the colony become more productive. And that pruning, that work of God does in us, that massaging or that stripping away of old things sometimes, that's what was necessary for us to become more productive followers in his life. So there's no question about it that God truly is the keeper of the hive of our hearts, of the hive of the church, if you will. And he's keeping close watch to ensure that we as a body and as his people remain healthy. And like the beekeeper, he knows how he is masterful in knowing how to approach us, how to talk to us, how to engage us in such a loving way. And sometimes in such a, and even this is still love, sometimes in a tough loving way to where we're in a healthy way, he's challenging us to step our game up, to grow closer to him, to be a better reflection of him, because somebody needs to know him. He's patient, and he's not afraid to get dirty with us. He's not afraid to get inside our hive and see what dead things are there to clean those things out in order that we can become more productive. Bottom line is, he simply loves us, and I'm so thankful that he reached out to me and grabbed hold of me when he did along, it was years back in church and youth ministry. Because family, if at the end of the day, we were going to have to stand before him individually, and it's going to be more rewarding to know that he knew us personally, intimately, than it is for me to know that he saw me as just one of the group. He knows us by name. He knows the numbers of hair on our head. And so if you don't, the point of where I'm going is, I really challenge us to get to know the beekeeper much more intimately and personally. Let's pray together, please. Dad, you're amazing. Heavenly Father, you know what you are doing. And I'm so thankful for your plans that you have for us. Help us to grow closer to you. Help us to know you intimately as you know us, such that, God, we can be fruitful in our lives, in our homes, in our communities. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Cool. So thank you all for taking a few minutes just to listen and hear, brother. It's okay. If you didn't like what you heard, it's great. Rusty will be back next week. So cool. But now real quick. So in the seat backs in front of you, there's a card. And if you're interested in potentially taking the next step to know Jesus, or would like to talk with someone, or need prayer, or suggestions, comments, anything, feel free to leverage that card. There's also a take-home sheet from today's message that I strongly encourage you to grab, just to help you go a little deeper, just with regarding to the conversation. Also, too, check out the program. There's a lot of things going on in our great church. In particular, I want to highlight baptisms are coming up. That's something to really be excited about. So if you're interested, there's much information there for you to contact so you can get involved there. And with that being said, while Jesse's leading us in worship again, the folks will be taking up the offering. All right, love you all, and I'll see you in the lobby.